Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and a plethora of other internet platforms. The bottom line is, you know this, 32 plus years now, Ring Talk live worldwide has brought you combat sports via both boxing and MMA. Therefore, we take it to Silicon Valley and bring in one of the icons of the sports, talk about the man that brought us Strikeforce, and of course, Strikeforce evolved into the UFC or was melted into UFC, and now he's running Bellator MMA, Mr. Scott Coker. Scott, a very good morning to you, sir.
Thanks. Thank you for having me on.
How's things going?
Man, we've been working hard getting ready for our big tentpole event in St. Louis, and we have a good card in Fresno coming up, and you know we just got a bunch of stuff on the schedule, man. It's going to be an exciting year for Bellator.
Okay, will you take a little tidbit from an ex-boxer here? Rafael Carvalho needs a boxing coach. You can't stand okay. You can't stand that tall. And stand there in the southpaw division and freeze and not do anything. He's so big and tall. If he threw jabs, I mean, his life would be so much easier.
Boy, I tell you, you know, he sure did not look like the fighter that fought against Brendan Halsey for the title. And, you know, his performance to me was really lackluster. And, you know, I hope that he can pick it up because, you know, he is our champion. He's got to represent.
Good-looking fighter and well-built, sort of almost a John Jones-like physique. Don't you think at 185 there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, honestly, I mean, he's got a complete game. It's just I don't know why he wasn't pulling the trigger. I think Melvin kicked him a couple times, and Rafael said, "Oh man, this guy is a better striker than me." And you know, why didn't he end up on the ground? Well, I guess he did end up on the ground a couple times, and Melvin fought his way back up. But I just don't think he wanted to deal with Melvin's punches and kicks.
You know, Melvin, because of the fact that Carvalho, what does he stand, 6'3"?
Yeah, he's about 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3". Yeah, so he dwarfs over anybody else, 185 pounds. And, I mean, it looked like, wow, like Melvin was in deep trouble here as far as these two guys looking size to size, man to man. But he got inside those, he's got inside his punches at good times, landed good shots. He fought a good small man's fight.
I mean, to be honest, you know, when I look at the decision, I don't know if I agree with that decision at all. You know, but the judges saw it the way they saw it, and, you know, we have to live by the judges' decisions, and it is what it is. But you're right. When you saw them, you know, standing next to each other, you're like, this is like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bruce Lee in Game of Death. I mean, you know, he looks so small, and to me, I go, oh, man, this is going to be tough. But, you know, the other thing that kept Melvin at bay was, you know, him getting gouged in the eyes. And finally he got, you know, a couple of calls on that. But, man, it's you know, that performance really was not spectacular.
Okay. Let's before we go to the future, let's talk about the current heavyweight championship. Has it been declared vacant now? Is the Bellator heavyweight title vacant?
Yeah, the heavyweight title is vacant. We still have Minnikoff on the contract. But, you know, until he decides to come back and fight, you know, we're going to move on, and, you know, we're going to have something fun to announce. And I think that, you know, something that we have a lot of people in order, in line here, you know, to fight. And, you know, we've got Tarantanov, we have Matt Mitrio now, we have, you know, a lot of up-and-coming young guy, kids. You know, King Mo wants to move to heavyweight. And so, you know, we got a pretty strong heavyweight division. Bobby Lashley's name's in the mix. So you toss all that together, we're going to have a fun time. You know, crowning our next champ.
Let's talk weight classes. We're talking weight classes with Scott Coker, of course, the president, the CEO of Bellator MMA. Of course, you can always follow Bellator on Spike TV or just go to their website, Bellator.com, and they'll take you all over the place as far as their schedule is concerned. But the current situation with heavyweights, I saw a film of a guy, I think he was like 7'1", some Chinese guy from Asia, kickboxing. Do you know what I'm talking about? The guy's like 300 pounds. Have you seen a picture, any films of this guy? The monster?
I have not seen a picture of it, I don't think.
Yeah, that was pretty frightening. What I'm trying to say is there going to be a weight division for guys over 265? Is there going to be, because athletes are getting bigger. We never thought there'd be a heavyweight champion walking around being 260, 265, you know, 25 years ago in the world of boxing. Not really, except for the exception of Primo Carnera. But will there be another division? Is there going to be a super, super heavyweight division in MMA eventually?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Right now, we don't have anything planned. And we've made all our fighters come down to 265 or make 265. But there's some big boys out there, like you said. And, you know, we get a lot of emails and a lot of, you know, bios being sent to us. And there's a lot of big guys out there. So it's something we would consider, but right now it's not on the books.
Okay. I got an email the other day because somebody knew you were coming, and they asked me, will Hoist Gracie and Ken Shamrock do it again, seeing the controversy that last time?
Boy, you know what? I don't think so. I think that, you know, that's kind of...
That's run its course?
Yeah, I think the third fight has run its course, and I think Hoist just proved his dominance, you know, with that victory. And you know, Hoist told me something really interesting at the fight. I go, what happened, Hoist, you know? And he said, you know, Scott, I fought this guy when there was no rules, no gloves, you could, anything went, and there was no time limit, and it was just, you know, the beginning of the MMA world. And, you know, we had our fights back then. And, you know, he goes, I hit him in the hip flexor with that knee. He goes down and he cries about a groin shot when, you know, they had all those epic battles in the past where there was, you know, virtually no rules. He just felt that, you know, that Ken didn't step up and that he didn't really want to be there. So I think that, you know, in my opinion, I think that we're pretty much over it.
Okay. You know, speaking of cups and low blows, I don't know if you remember this, but you don't go back this far, neither do I. But in the 30s, when this guy brought out this protective cup for boxers, he went around the country on a railroad car, and he would get off in different cities, and he would invite people to hit him in the groin with a baseball bat. And I'll tell you the truth, I've been hit a few times low, and the only time it ever bothered me is when I was losing a fight. You know what I'm trying to say there, Scott? I needed a few seconds to try to collect my thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, good point. I mean, it was like, you know, I don't know, to me, you know, I'll tell you a story, and the story comes back to the fight. And basically, when I saw Hoist, I was in Israel. We're setting up the fight in Israel for the end of the year. And Hoist was just happened to be there. And he didn't come with us, our group. He was there teaching at his schools. He has two schools affiliate schools in Israel, one up north and one in the south. And I said, hey, Hoist, what do you do for dinner tonight? And he said, well, you know, nothing. Let's go hang out. So we hung out, and he introduced me to some military members. And he said, tomorrow I'm going to the Navy SEAL base to teach a seminar for the Navy SEALs of Israel. And I said, well, I'd love to go. So he arranged for us to go. And the technique that he taught him was exactly the same technique that he did to Ken. You know, go in there, shoot for the hug, take him down, ground and pound him, and then, but basically it's like Jiu-Jitsu 101. And so when I look at Hoist's game, man, he still has a strong, you know, MMA fighting game. And
right.
I can't say that about, you know, the other guys that maybe at his age that want to continue fighting or, you know, I mean, this guy has not changed his game, but he just does it so well that, you know, it's like Gracie Jiu-Jitsu 101, man, and that's exactly what he did to Ken.
Talking Hoist Gracie here, but that being said, with the involvement of the game, the fact that, you know, boxing 101 is such a major part now in the world of mixed martial arts, you've got guys with wrestling bases and things like that, all these different facets coming into the world of MMA. Could Gracie compete on the upper echelons of the heavyweight division today?
Well, you're talking about are you talking about the Gracie from the 90s, or are you talking about the Gracie today?
No, I'm just trying to say, is the Gracie, has the Gracie from the 90s evolved into a different fighter than the Gracie of today? In other words, could he put all these elements together and compete in today's world if he were like 29 or 30 years old again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Hoist would, you know, would evolve with he would evolve with the sport, and you know, but was he the best boxer back in '93? Of course not, because you know at that time it was all about, hey, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is the best, and this is how we do it. But you know, I'm sure knowing Hoist and knowing, you know, how he feels about MMA and that's evolved. I'm sure he would be up with the times.
Return to Spike TV, Eduardo Dantas, 17-4, taking on Marcos Galvao, 17-6. These guys are battling for the Bellator Bantamweight Championship. That's Friday night, June 17th, on Spike TV. Talk to me about the champion first.
Well, I tell you, you know, there's a kid, man, that is had a lot to fight for, and promised his mom he was going to win the title. And I don't know if you saw that promo piece or that countdown show we did, but it was really emotional, man. This guy, it meant so much to him to win that title. And, you know, he pulled it off, and it was a great, great victory. And Dantas is a kid that, you know, we tried to put this fight a couple of times, and somebody got injured, somebody got sick, and finally it's coming back, and it's going to be a great night of fights. And it's going to be in Fresno. It's going to be live and free on Spike.
June 17th, live at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. Galvao and Dantas, too. It's a rematch, folks. Check it out. Bellator MMA coming live to Fresno, California. Now we switch gears. We go to the 24th. Guess who's back? The Rampage. Quentin Rampage Jackson's back, taking on a guy named Ishii. First of all, Jackson competing at heavyweight. Can he not make 205 anymore? Is this a decision you guys made together? What's going on with that?
Yeah, we just said, look, what weight do you feel comfortable at? I mean, this is not a title fight. And, you know, he said, look, this is the weight that they want to come in. And so we contracted the weight for, I think it's only like 10 pounds off the 205. It's like 216. And Satoshi Ishii was okay with that because he also has, you know, been competing at heavyweight and light heavyweight. But I'm not sure if you know much about Ishii, but he's a guy that has really a great pedigree in Olympic judo and has become a complete mixed martial arts fighter since his, you know, days as competing in the Olympics. But, you know, to win the Olympic gold medal in judo for the country of Japan, that's a big, big deal over there. And, you know, he's had a lot of fights, but he's, you know, his only four losses were to Mirko Krokop, Fedor, in the last Ryzen tournament he lost. But, you know, he's got a great record, man. And I think this guy, his game plan is going to be, he's going to try to get Quentin down to the ground. And if he can, you know, Quentin's going to be in trouble. So this guy's going to be a beast on the ground, and Quentin's going to try to keep it standing up. And if Quentin can do that, I think that he'll knock out Ishii. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, interesting style.
June 24th from the Scott Trade Center, St. Louis, Missouri, Dynamite 2. It'll be live on Spike TV as well. Now, you guys are going to London. Tell me about going across the pond. You're going July the 10th, the 16th? Which is it?
Yeah, July 16th. We're going to London, the O2 Arena. We got, you know, we've been having some great fights. Kimbo Slice is going to fight James Thompson. And that is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that's the most watched fight in the history of MMA in the United States. It was on CBS. I think it had 7.5 million viewers live. It was Pro League that was promoting it. And I think that was in Florida somewhere. But that still holds the record to this day as the most watched event in the history of MMA. So, you know, we're happy to put that fight on together. It's going to be at the O2 Arena. And that also will be on Spike. I think it'll be a couple hours delay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not going to show it that far apart from the live broadcast. And in the UK, it's going to be live on Channel 5. And that's on terrestrial TV. That's like CBS here in the U.S. So it's going to be a big deal for MMA throughout the U.K.
When you guys had that deal with CBS TV and Nick Diaz, the Diaz brothers had that riot on TV and sort of canceled the contract, did you want to choke Nick Diaz after that? I mean, how much money did that cost you? A lot, huh?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing is that, you know, we didn't have like an ongoing contract. It was a one-off basis on CBS. And, you know, that was an unfortunate situation. Really, it was our fault. And that, you know, we let all those guys in the cage. And who would have thought? I mean, all the years I've been involved in the fight business. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, one time something like that's happened. But, you know, it was really Mayhem Miller that started that whole thing. He and his manager at the time, I forgot his name, but, you know, they're like, hey, should we go in and challenge Jake Shields? And Mayhem Miller comes up to me after and goes, well, I didn't think they were going to jump me. I'm like, Mayhem, you got Nick Diaz, Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields and Nate Diaz, and you're going to go, talk in their face, and you're going to think that's okay? That's not going to be okay. And you know, we had a little conversation after, but it was too late, and the fight already happened, and, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation, and, you know, that's something that was a big learning lesson for me, and, you know, it's something I'll never forget.
Only on live TV, though, huh? Only on live TV.
Yeah, only on live. Remember Gus Johnson? Guys, you're on television. This, you know, I don't know.
Scott Coker, all the best to you. Bellator CEO, president. Check him out, Bellator.com. Look forward to talking to you real soon. All the best, sir.
Thanks, buddy. Bye now.
You tune to Ring Talk Live Worldwide 54, make it 55 minutes past the hour.